Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss your problems, questions you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers of your questions are based upon Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member of Al Mustafa University and researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Many have told me that your teen years are the best part of your life, though to me and my peers, it does not seem so. They're filled with strife, they're filled with tears, these growing up years. I was a child before with no worries, none at all, but I am not that young no more. As into adolescence I fall, I realize that life's not that easy at all. I have to make decisions now, but the hardest part of all is trying to fit in, knowing how to tie in bow or pin, knowing what to wear, jeans or hat, knowing what to say, soft or loud, as I'm trying to fit in with the crowd. Looking in the mirror, I see me, trying to be me, not who I am, but who they are. As a teen, I have a lot of worries that before I had never seen, until it starts, as I first encounter love and discover broken hearts, as it's all I talk of. Professor Nakavi, a very warm welcome. As a teenager goes through different states of life, I recited this poem from Janik Tenwood, and the last part of it says that as a teen, the first thing when I get into the relationships, I realize the heart breaks. Why is it so? Why are teens are not into perfect social relationships? Why do they experience heartbreaks at the very first stage of their life when they start developing social relationships?
And that is, as I said, as you were saying, it's a very sensitive, delicate transformation that is taking place. And of course, we have to relish each and every stage of our lives. It should be with gratitude. It should be with the love of Allah Almighty. It should be with thanking Allah Almighty. With being patient because of Allah Almighty. In all our days in this world, we need to have these attributes, these attitudes. But the sensitive age of adolescence is when a person is starting to become an old adult person. And things, it's just like somehow you could say Adam and Eve realizing that they need clothes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, metaphorically, I would say not exactly the same thing, but something, it's a dawning of a new thing.
Yeah.
So it's a new era in life.
True.
It can be very exciting. It can be used positively. It could be in a way that we benefit from it in the utmost way, because at that time our thoughts and our feelings are pure.
Yeah.
Till now we have not done anything which could make us sinful. We're starting to become a person who, by carrying out things or which are not allowed,
would be a responsible person.
We would be responsible for those actions. Therefore, it is a very important stage in life. It can become a stage where if we start with it, start off with a sound footing, a proper understanding of the situation. The problem is mostly we don't understand what we are going through. And that is the problem, which is because of our system of education mostly.
Yeah.
We teach our children things which they may need to become good professionals one day. And that's what we as parents also want our children to become: successful entrepreneurs, professionals. So we focus on everything which is important for that.
To make them MMM.
Exactly. But we don't teach them how to become good human beings.
A good human being.
How to manage their lives. And that is the unfortunate part of our system of education and upbringing as a whole. Therefore, yes, we at that age become very much excited. We become irritated. We become confused.
And to manage that is very important. How do we manage that? I'll ask you after a short break. Your listeners, stay tuned with us.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm Zainab with Professor Naqavi, and Professor Naqavi was telling us a very important point before going to the break, that teenage is a very delicate age where the feelings are very strong, and how these feelings could be managed now.
So some of them we mentioned about, that to strengthen the special relationship with Allah Almighty,
yeah,
by praying, fasting, reciting the Holy Quran.
Wow.
Reciting prayers from the Mafatih, from the Sahifa Sajadiyah. They all enlighten us.
Yeah.
And they open our eyes to the realities of the world, to the hereafter. That is very important, that we teach our children to develop that proper, correct understanding. Unfortunately, the unfortunate part is that we ourselves are deficient in that and lack many things.
Yes.
So at least what we can do is send them to a tutor or a mentor who can guide them properly. It would have been very beneficial, it would have been good, if we were able to develop a society in which we had small groups carrying out activities, various activities, which is very important in community building. For example, you have in the example of the Holy Prophet, may Allah have peace upon him, when the Muhajirin came to Medina, he enacted the pact of brotherhood between the Muhajir and the Ansar. He linked one Muhajir with one of the Ansaris to support each other, to support the Ansaris were supposed to support them materially. And the Muhajir, as they were, they had become Muslims earlier, they were pioneers in Islam, they would help the Ansar in their understanding of Islam. So that was a relationship which was created, which created the foundation blocks of the society. Now this is a very important thing. Unfortunately, we don't have such an arrangement in society today.
Yeah.
For example,
even if you live in apartments very next to each other, the other person in the apartment is dead, and it's almost after 3-5 days a person gets to know that your neighbor is dead. So that's very, very...
Unfortunately, there's no... the social fabric of our society is completely absent. There's no interaction.
Yeah.
Previously, in older ages, today is the age of fast movement. Everything is moving so fast at the speed of light, at the speed of the internet.
Yeah.
So human relationships are breaking down. That is one of the problems of this age.
Yeah. So how to bridge them again? We'll be talking about that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Professor Naqavi, and we're saying that the social relationships are kind of broken, and how do we bridge them, Professor Naqavi?
So I would suggest that, of course, as a whole, the society is not undergoing such a transformation where we are bridging and making small units of human beings working together in the society to carry out social change, to bring about cultural change, to carry out even economic activities collectively, because there's a great deal of emphasis in Islam on collective activities, whether for the enhancement of the polity of the society, the social activities, the economic welfare activities. Everything is supposed to be done by the state, by the government. The movement at the grassroots level is not there. I would have suggested that until that is absent, until we reach a stage where we can bring about such a society where there's interconnectivity, there's interlinkage within the groups of the society. One of the things which we as parents could do is that we as parents, man and wife, and other parents who are involved, whose children are working with our children, who are playing with our children, who are studying at the same school, we link up together, and the school can become a bridge between us and those parents, and we bring about these children in a way that we ask a mentor to guide them. I mean, you may feel shy to talk to your child about the changes, especially which are taking place in the hormones, sexual area of life. That is a very important change. That is the major change. Now, we as parents may not be able to talk to our children about that. So let's group up and make our children engaged with a person who can be a guide, or an elderly person who has passed that stage, who's intelligent, who's understanding, and he can guide them through that stage.
Yeah.
That is something which we lack in society.
Yeah.
And this is very important. We are concerned with teaching. We are not concerned with upbringing and mentoring our children. And that is where that causes children to become aloof from society. Everyone goes on to his own path, or he is attracted towards a group of children or boys or even peers, elderly ones who bully this person.
Yeah.
There's peer pressure.
Yeah.
And they are taken away into domains which are not permissible.
Okay. Well, their parents, I was often told by my friends that you seem to be extremely caring towards others. And when I was doing the course of self-awareness, and then I got to know I really have this quality to care about others more than it's needed. And then when my teachers underwent the source of this quality, They found that it was my father, who on every Friday morning was not home. And when we would ask our mother, where is father? She would say that he went to the hospital. And when we would say, was someone in the hospital? She said, none of our relatives is in the hospital, but he just went to visit the other people, the other sick people who are in the society. So if you want to develop the good quality with others in your teens, you got to start with yourself. You got to start as parents that would maybe automatically get developed into your children. Thank you so much for listening to us. Thank you so much, Professor Nakavi, for being with us. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.